It ain't the left side or the right side, then it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fence Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, all of our social media outlets, the FinFanatic.com website, as well as the FanSided Network. We are 2 weeks away from our first preseason game. Training camp for the Dolphins has kicked off. We'll talk about that. And only 6 weeks away from the regular season. So football season is officially upon us now that training camp has started. And already, obviously, some drama here early in the week, Paul. And Xavien Howard shows up to camp on Tuesday, first day. And we're kind of thinking, all right, the Dolphins won this here. There was a stare down and the Dolphins won. That night, a lengthy Instagram post from Xavien Howard that implies, no, not quite yet. So it's kind of a back and forth. And as we stand here today, things are really still up in the air.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised at that. I mean, I know you and I commented back and forth that morning when we saw Xavien Howard reported to camp. We're like, yeah, let's go. And I think we both commented on the fact that he didn't look ridiculously thrilled walking into camp. And then we got that night. So it's interesting. There's a lot of interesting elements to it because Howard is now hurt again and sitting out a lot of practice time, which I know we're going to get into. Surprisingly, Nick Needham's been the starting boundary cornerback for most reps with the ones. And really, you listen to what Xavien Howard has put forth. The letter aside, the offers that he and Kanter have put on the table have sounded like very un-Kanter-like offers as far as that goes. It's a very small amount, but it's an amount that either A, makes him the highest paid corner on the team by at least a little bit, or B, kind of kicks the can down the road a little bit as far as this goes. And the Dolphins are just like, nah, he's here, we're good. So it's intriguing in a lot of ways.
Attention listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. First scheduled for liftoff, the new Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. This spaceship is here to guide you on a journey to trim your body, balls, butt, and even Uranus. This fourth generation trimmer also features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch, and can engage a travel lock, and it's even waterproof. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker. It's like having a little astronaut to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. For a clean Trinity and beyond, your space balls will thank you.
You know, I was thinking about doing a show with you here on Tuesday night or Wednesday night, and I'm glad I didn't because I was absolutely irate at both sides. And if you can look at my Twitter page and...
Oh, don't tell our listeners that because they would have loved it.
Oh, gosh. That's true.
And we would have gotten banned from YouTube.
So I am so, and when you say it's a very un-Kanter-like proposal of what they were looking for, to clarify that here, is Armando Salguero and Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, I think Salguero wrote it, but Barry Jackson has reciprocated that and talked about it too. And David Kanter and Xavien Howard have said the same thing. Our Kanter supposedly shared this info with the Miami Herald, and Xavien Howard said this on his Instagram post. Is Howard was not looking for a new contract. He was not talking about ripping up the old contract and doing a new one, which was our fear that might happen. What, according to the Miami Herald, the final straw after this many months of Xavien Howard wanting a tweak to his contract. supposedly this would have gotten the deal done. Moving $4 million from 2024 to 2021, which would have made Xavien Howard the highest paid cornerback on his own team and technically the highest paid cornerback in the league. The other possible offer, it is reportedly one or the other, either that or guaranteeing all of his 2022 salary. I was irate for two reasons. Number one, why Xavien Howard, after all this time, would ask for something so little? And two, how the Dolphins aren't giving it to him.
Yeah, and by all accounts, a lot of it has to do with something you and I have talked about in a few previous episodes. The Dolphins' hesitancy, and I remember being on the conference call with Flores for this, the Dolphins' hesitancy to renegotiate a contract they just renegotiated. The same thing we talked about before, and I apologize that I forget the source. It's been a while. I'm pretty sure it was something from Cantor himself at one point. But where Cantor had advised Xavien Howard that signing that deal at that time was a stupid move because he was going to be worth that much more in a couple years. And it's a very weird move, but at the same time, the Dolphins can bend on this because Xavien Howard was easily top three in most opinions, if not higher, for the defensive player of the year when he got 10 interceptions since, I believe, the first time since 2006 a player has done so. And so it really allows you to bend on your firm rule of we don't renegotiate with players and put a carrot out there. You know what? If you go out and damn near win Defensive Player of the Year, we'll talk about money.
Paul, I said we may end the show at 8 Central. I think we might go all night now, so you may not going after. Listen,
we can have a part two of the Xavien Howard saga, and I know we're going to because it's not resolved yet.
No, it's not resolved yet. And first, I think it's important we get the facts in place of how this came about, okay? So back in 2019, and I want to go back to what you said before I get into this, Paul, is, yeah, even if David Cantor had said that, I don't think it was an unfair contract at the time, and here's why. Because Xavien Howard missed the final four games of the 2018 season, mm-hmm. okay, when the Dolphins needed him the most during a playoff run. And they gave him a contract that for average per year, 5 years, $76 million, was the highest paid at the time, okay? And also in addition to that, Xavien Howard got all his upfront money in the first 2 years of that readjusted contract, meaning that between what that comes down to is, and what Howard's upset with now, is between 2022 and 2024, it's basically a three-year, $40 million contract with no money guaranteed. So I think Xavien Howard, if he believes, like, look, as the contract sits right now, I'm severely underpaid. And then he's really just asking for a little bit more money to be moved around, really out of respect. And go ahead.
Sorry, I just want to jump in with one thing. I've got other things I'll immediately throw it back to you on, and then I'll jump in with the other things after. The big thing that I actually respected that Cantor did at the time of the renegotiation was and you're right, Xavien did not get an unfair deal at that time. By reports, Cantor had told him when he tried to sign with him, don't sign one right now. This is not the right time. He tried to sign him and basically told him, don't renegotiate right now. And that basically means that Cantor was signing him and getting no return on it until his next contract, if he was still his agent, which is a huge investment on Cantor's part, and tells you how firmly Xavien Howard should have listened to the man, because we wouldn't be here right now. Granted, he'd probably be asking for even more than he's asking, but it's very much a situation of he got told not to by Cantor, and everybody else started seeing dollar signs and said, let's go.
I disagree with Cantor then on that, because here's why. Because if Xavien Howard had waited one more year, in 2019, he played five games and he was bad in two of them. So if that were the case, after the year, if he had asked for the money, he wouldn't have gotten what he got in 2018. I don't disagree with what Cantor said at the time, but if Howard had that 2019 season and then asked for the money, he would have gotten less.
He probably could have come back on a one-year prove-it like a lot of the guys do at that point, or, you know, gotten franchised or some goofy-ass thing from there. But, yeah. No, I do see your point there, but at the same time, he couldn't have predicted that he would only play 5 games. No one could have.
Yeah, it's confusing because I believe that both sides have a point here, and I also believe that both sides are being stupid. You know, it's I understand the Dolphins saying, hey, look, we showed so much faith in you back in 2019 when we signed you to that, knowing you were coming off a knee injury. And at the time, you probably weren't the best cornerback in football. That shows a big leap of faith. And we're not just going to act like we didn't give you $24 million in guaranteed money in your first 2 years. Now, but I also don't disagree with Howard when he looks at his contract and say, look, I'm the best cornerback in the league. I'm not even the highest paid cornerback on my own team, not by a long shot. So what it comes down to is, are the Miami Dolphins going to lose the best cornerback in the league or trade him for in context of what he's worth, next to nothing, over not moving $4 million around or not guaranteeing his 2022 salary? I don't believe Chris Greer is that stupid.
No, I think at very worst, this is going to turn ugly and long and force Xavier Howard to come back to the table in good faith, even though he already has. We know. I'm not saying he hasn't. But really, the Dolphins hold all the cards because of that contract Xavier Howard signed. He basically can either give up the money almost altogether based on fines and you name it by not showing up and holding out. The Dolphins don't have to do anything. He has to report or it rolls. You know, I think it's week 8 he's got to report, week 9, somewhere around there. I don't have it right in front of me. But they've got him under contract. So at some point, he's got to show up as much as he might hate it. And I don't know. We'll see what happens.
So here's my other question too, and this is what I've been throwing out this week, and I'll throw the same thing to you. And I'll be honest, it's kind of a rhetorical question. If the Dolphins traded Xavier Howard over $4 million to another team, let's say the Cowboys, they can't get a first rounder anywhere. They trade him for a second round pick. Okay, let's put that out there. And next year the Dolphins don't make the playoffs. And then you look around and you see Laremy Tunsil, Xavier Howard, and Minka Fitzpatrick, all pros on other teams, and the Dolphins don't make the playoffs because they don't have enough talent. How would you feel about that?
I'd be frustrated only in the fact that the only wrong move at this point to me is not finding some middle ground with Howard. The Tunsil trade was a smart move. The Minka Fitzpatrick trade, the guy was just being a cancer. We all know that. We all saw it. If it wasn't for Jonathan Martin, he probably would have been the most cancerous presence in the locker room in the past 10 years. And Adam Gase, let's face it. But it's the way that he just dug his heels in and said, no, I'm not doing that, and then went to Pittsburgh and just did that was just astounding to me. Because he played the multiple positions that he said he didn't want to play in Miami.
Did he, though? Because I think he just played free safety there. I think maybe at one point it was talked about. But,
I thought he moved around in year one.
He might have. And I say that because Minka was a baby.
Yeah,
but he was also right. And I'm sorry to say, I'm not saying that's the right way to run your team, that you let the player tell you what to do. But he said, this is the position I'm best at. You drafted me for my football IQ, and they said, no, basically you're Eric Rowe. And he said, no, I'm not. And that's where the disagreement was. So now you flipped him. But basically, you traded Minka Fitzpatrick for Austin Jackson, and that is a very lopsided deal right now. So, but here's what it comes down to, okay? And this is where I do give the Dolphins a little bit of the benefit of the doubt and what I believe would have happened. If not for that stupid Xavier Howard Instagram post, okay? I believe that the Dolphins and David Cantor, they were still in the middle of the dance here. You know, and eventually throughout August, something would have gotten done. They would have met somewhere in the middle. But now Xavier Howard throws that grenade in there saying he wants to be traded. And on one hand, I say, Xavier, I think you jumped the gun and you hurt yourself here. And then on the other hand, I say, you know, if you moved $4 million GD dollars around from 2024 to 2021 for the best player on your team at the most important position on your team other than cornerback, you wouldn't be dealing with this nonsense right now.
Yeah, I mean, God, that
look, I'm talking out loud to myself. I'm screaming. Yeah. I'm not even in the chat here tonight. This is a me show. I'm screaming out loud to myself here tonight.
Yeah. And by the way, guys, I am trying to watch the chat too, but I'm also, you know, we're having some fun. And one thing I will say is, by all accounts, let's hold off on saying that about the Austin Jackson and Minkah Fitzpatrick trade with what it boils down to, because there's been a lot of accounts out of camp so far, with a lot of seams being open for Gaskin, for Ahmed, and Doakes, and Malcolm Brown, that seem to be going right through where Austin Jackson is. Granted, I know we're not in full-blown contact mode as of yet, but I'm pretty encouraged. I'm hearing a lot of good things that people are seeing with the offensive line so far, and not just Austin Jackson as far as that goes.
I still think the Dolphins got ripped off.
Nope. I don't care. I don't care if they got nothing in return, even though I would want something in return. You can't keep a player that was acting like he was on your team.
I agree with you. I do think that it's not a simple situation of that Minkah was, everything was going great, everything was going swimmingly, and the Dolphins traded him out of the blue. I mean, I get that. I didn't like the Austin Jackson pick. I hope he gets better. He is still toolsy. He's 21. I get it. And, you know, he's got a long way to go. So let me segue here into a bunch of stupid arguments I hear people make about this Xavier Howard situation. Just things that sound nice but don't actually make a lot of sense. First of all, Paul,
oh boy,
let's go through these one by one. I'm not going to name names here. But this isn't.
Oh, can I guess? Can I guess when you say him?
No.
Can I anyway?
You can't. But it's really not any one person in particular.
Omar.
It's a bunch of people. I don't listen to him. So first stupid argument that I hear.
Armando.
This is a slippery slope. If you readjust Xavier Howard's contract. What are your thoughts on that?
It's not.
Correct.
Like, I hate to put it that way. What I said earlier, it's actually not a slippery slope. Oh, no. You can put the onus on the players to go, you know what? I don't care when we renegotiate with you. If you come close to Defensive Player of the Year, let's talk.
Correct. Correct answer, Paul. One for one there.
Yes. Let's do it.
I'd say, so the slippery slope theory here. Let me tell you this. Please walk me through the slippery slope between Xavier Howard wanting the respect to being the highest paid cornerback on his own team, and then next year Zach Sealer plays a little bit better than we expected him to, and now he's going to kick down Chris Greer's door and demand we rip up his contract too.
Look,
that's not how it works.
If he beats out Aaron Donald for Defensive Player of the Year at his position, I'll walk in Chris Greer's door with him and go, he's right.
That's exciting. So, yeah, if you say, I'll use Jerome Baker. Let's say Jerome Baker gets 12 sacks, 9 interceptions, and wins Defensive Player of the Year next year. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But
Luckily, he's in Miami. They won't give it to him anyway.
I'm looking at, like, oh, God, what a horrible situation to be in, where we've got so many Defensive Player of the Years. We've got to add a few million to their contract. Do some of you hear yourself? I mean, okay, here's a stupid argument, too. That's why they drafted Noah Igbinoghene. What's the point of doing that if you're not going to start him the next year? So hold on. Watch my hands. Xavien Howard, best cornerback in football. Noah Igbinoghene last year, unplayable.
Hold up. You need a third hand somewhere in the middle. Like, here, one of your hands is the middle hand. So this is the Igbinoghene somewhere unplayable. That hand of yours over there is the Xavien Howard. And then the middle hand in between our hands, that hand, and I apologize, I think we're on opposite sides here when I'm looking at it, but it's okay. That middle hand is Nick Needham, who's playing at the number one spot over Noah Igbinoghene.
Correct. And it's not to say Noah Igbinoghene can't improve, but the bottom line is the season ended here 8 months ago, and at the end of the year, Igbinoghene was unplayable, and Xavien Howard was the best cornerback in football.
The right? show in our chat summed it up for us, Kat. Noah. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, hey, he's got talent. Look, hey, we know what he we does. Signed up for. But you're crazy. Noah Igbinoghene has a chance to be the third cornerback, and if he's the third cornerback, then he plays 65 to 70% of defensive snaps. That's a good role. And then in 2023, when Xavien Howard probably does step out of the Dolphins, Igbinoghene, because how young he was when we drafted him, is only 23 years old with 2 years left on his rookie deal. That's a pretty good situation to be in. I go back to Paul, too. In 2022, if they were talking about guaranteeing Xavien Howard's salary, which I believe is $13.5 million or $14.5 million, one of the two, here's my question is, in what scenario is Xavien Howard not part of your football team in 2022?
If he's asking for $25 million a year and you get offered 2 first-round picks.
Yeah, that's it. And in what scenario would he be cut before 2022? There's one of two things that can happen. One of two things, very small chances.
He gets arrested?
Gets arrested, so three chances. Gets arrested, has a horrific injury at the end of 2021 that puts him out for 2022. Or three, goes from the best cornerback in the league to the worst cornerback in the league. Because even if he went from the best to middle of the pack heading into 2022, middle of the pack cornerback is Bradley Roby, Ronald Darby, a guy making $10 or $11 million a year in the NFL. So what are you so afraid of? Like, and again, I don't know. It's just
yeah. And I want to clarify for our chat. I don't think either of us, and if I'm wrong, correct me, Kat, but I don't think either of us is fully down on Igbinoghene. He's just not there quite yet, and he's got a hell of a lot of talent. He's very young. And he's a guy that we do think can come along, hopefully, to play a role this season and possibly move into a bigger role down the road. But as it stands right now, it's a heck of a drop-off. We're talking, like, you know, San Andreas Fault between Xavien Howard and Noah Igbinoghene.
You're right, and we've heard good things about Igbinoghene coming out of camp, and that's awesome. And look, when the Dolphins drafted Igbinoghene in the 2020 draft, he had only played cornerback at Auburn for 1 year. He was a wide receiver before that. He didn't turn 21 until November of his rookie year. He's not going to turn 22 until November of his second year. So this is a young, raw player. We get it. But this is a year the Dolphins have to win. This is third year under Brian Flores, second year with Tua. Okay. If it's really got to happen here over the next 2 years. And if Xavien Howard is not part of that, what are you doing? And when you talk about precedent, what type of precedent does it set? When somebody is the best player at the position, best player on your team, your star player, 28 years old, you drafted him 2016. And now he wants a few million more dollars out of respect to be moved from one place to another, and it's a flat no. And what can we get for you in a trade? Again, I don't think Chris Greer is that stupid.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. All right, what's our next quote in this game?
Let's see here.
I'll take stupid quotes for 800, Cat.
This is usually said by people who are trying to agree with me or cool me down on Twitter is, yeah, Xavier Howard is a great cornerback, but ... followed by a bunch of nonsense. Okay. If you start by just thinking Xavier Howard's good or are great, you've already lost me. Okay. Let me talk you through how incredible this guy has played. He is the first defensive back since 2007 to have 10 interceptions in a year. Antonio Cromartie was the last one. The last player to have more than 10 interceptions in a year was Everson Walls in 1981 for the Dallas Cowboys, 40 years ago. Okay. Let's keep going. Four players in the NFL have more than 10 interceptions in their last 38 games played. Xavier Howard with 22, J.C. Jackson is second with 15, and then you've got Marcus Peters and Tre'Davious White with 11. I mean, it's off the charts the best playmaker over the last several years when he's healthy. Let's see, on deep balls, on balls traveling 30 yards or more in the air, I've said this on the show before, Xavier Howard has been targeted 30 times since the middle of the 2017 season on deep balls. Of those 30 deep balls, zero touchdowns allowed, four catches by the receiver, and seven interceptions. Xavier Howard is coming down with the ball more times than the receiver. I mean, I don't know what else to say about the guy. And look, if Xavier Howard goes out there next year and he's got knee problems, at this point, as we sit here on August 1st, 2021, I am willing to take that risk because he is the only clear star player that the Dolphins have.
Yeah, no, it's very much a situation where it's frustrating as all hell, and people just are so far on one side of the fence or the other. Luckily, you know what, since I know we're short on time, and I know we can talk about this all night, I know we're going to talk about this more, let's actually talk real quick about Tua in training camp and what we've seen so far.
Yeah, let's move. I'll give you one last stupid quote and we'll move on. You take it. Once you sign a contract, you honor it. That's my favorite. Anyway, I know how you feel about that. Yeah. What are your thoughts on Tua here and what you've heard in camp so far?
I am very impressed. The video that I've seen of him, not just from the official sources, but from fans that were at practice and things like that, he's threading the ball. He's hitting deep balls in stride. He and Albert Wilson seem to have a connection. He and Jakeem Grant. He and Robert Foster. He and Jalen Waddle. He and Mike Gesicki. It's very encouraging what we've seen and heard so far. He seems to really be able to drive off that leg, and it seems to have fixed a lot of the issues, including some of the velocity ones that we saw last year.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with what I've heard too. And it also, there seems to be some correlation with how aggressive he was being here throughout the offseason. And that's exactly what we want to see. And the constants that you see and you hear coming out of camp are his footwork and how he can evade pressure and keep his eyes downfield. And that's what I'm really looking forward to. And it seems like Albert Wilson, Paul, you know, we did our locks list before, too. So, you know, I think you had 36 or 37 on yours. I had 34 on mine. Can we call Albert Wilson a lock at this point?
Yeah. As long as his knee holds out. I mean,
yeah, I would say unless he really falls off, then I'm with you on that.
Falls off or falls down?
Falls off or falls down, absolutely. Yeah, and also, too, another development as well is Michael Dieter. Looks like he is, Barry Jackson said the other day, he's in the driver's seat to be that starting center. And, you know, I've heard some good snaps, some bad snaps from him, but you know, that would be huge, you know, because he's been a disappointment up to this point, obviously. But I really thought he was a better center than a guard coming out of Wisconsin. And, you know, if he can get there and, you know, one question we asked here on the show too, back in, during the draft, when they passed on Creed Humphrey twice in the second round was, is it possible they like Michael Dieter a little bit more?
And I think for them, he's been a pleasant surprise as well, because they've been linked to just about any big name center that's hit the market, or even medium name center that's hit the market of starting caliber. If they were super high on Michael Dieter, he would have stolen some time from Ted Karras. If they were who they basically, you know, said, hey, don't call us, we'll call you, but we like you. And finally he was like, all right, screw it, I'm going back to New England, because you're flirting with every other girl in the room. And so that doesn't necessarily translate to resounding endorsement of Michael Dieter, that they were chasing other centers around, even if they were avoiding them in the draft.
Yeah, and maybe Dieter really took a step up here this offseason too. I look at how little they paid Skura and how they completely ignored center in the draft. Maybe they had a feeling this was kind of coming. And if so, great for the Dolphins there. Yeah, defensive side of the ball, it's a little bit harder to tell. I mean, this is kind of about quarterbacks and receivers here in the first week of training camp. But, you know, really a lot of good news here as far as how Tua is looking so far. You know, on defense, I'm not quite sure if there's anything that's really jumped out for you, Paul, as far as news is concerned.
Not really. I mean, a handful of defensive backs have been making some good plays. It seems to change on a daily basis. Then, you know, some guy named Xavien Howard, some news about him, but we've already talked about that. The fact that Javon Holland is fighting with Eric Rowe for a starting spot and Jason McCourty is also fighting for a starting spot does intrigue me a little bit as far as that goes, because you don't really hear Brandon Jones' name very much in that mix, in that starting secondary, which I would have thought we would have based on what we saw last year.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that Rowe's spot was being challenged. If that's the case, that means there's a lot of good safety depth. And, you know, McCourty's a heady player and, you know, it could replace a lot of what the Dolphins lost there when they lost Bobby McCain. So, absolutely. John Gordon in our chat said Robert Hunt said he would play center in his interview. That's what I do love about these offensive linemen here, is that they're willing to play wherever. And that's great. And speaking of which, the word coming out of camp, too, is that Jesse Davis is probably going to be the Dolphins' right tackle, especially right now. But it's not over yet. And let me be clear. But Liam Eichenberg's getting a lot more snaps at left guard. And that bears watching. I'd be a little disappointed if Jesse Davis were the starting right tackle instead of Liam Eichenberg. I would say Robert Hunt, but it seems like Robert Hunt's pretty entrenched there at that right guard spot. So
it makes me cry about Kindley at this point, because I really like that kid.
Yeah, and Kindley would be battling with Eichenberg. So that's I do think the Dolphins are really doing their job, and it's a good thing that they're mixing and matching a lot of different possibilities. It looks like the constants are Austin Jackson at left tackle, Robert Hunt at right guard, and then Michael Dieter at center as of right now. And then left guard and right tackle are really getting interchanged as we're going along here. So let's see, anything else. Anything else jump out to you here from chat?
Not a huge amount. I mean, it's Jeremiah Kelly brought up the fact that Parker and Fuller and Preston are all hurt.
Yep.
I'll add to it that, you know, DJ Fluker's on IR. But it's those guys being hurt has really given an opportunity for some of the guys to prove themselves, including Jakeem Grant. Jakeem Grant has had a very good camp so far, even though we're only 5 days in.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been the Jakeem Grant continuing to hold on
to the ball.
Yeah, to the ball. But every time you count him out, Mighty Mouse comes right back in. I mean, and again, I'll say what I said before. Disappointed as a receiver, in my opinion, the best kick returner and punt returner in the league still. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. And it looks like Lynn Bowden is losing a little bit of ground here to some of these players. You know, I don't see What's that face?
One of our listeners asked if we want Jimmy G for Howard. No.
Jimmy G. Hey, we could. I mean, obviously no, but hey, I don't mind some creative trade offers here.
I don't either, and it's still no.
Still no. Yeah, I agree. Money Man, he asked about Kirk Merritt. Heard some great things about him too. And there's some players here I feel bad for on the Dolphins team. Chris Myrick, Kirk Merritt being two of them. It's like it seems like they're always making plays in camp, but it's such an uphill battle. I mean, these guys have got to. I mean, can a practice squad player demand a trade? I mean, like, I don't know.
Well, a practice squad player can sign with another team, so there's that. Merritt's a guy, we talked about him a lot when the Dolphins got him as an undrafted free agent. We talked about him a lot last year, I believe, in our undrafted free agent show.
Yeah, out of Arkansas State. I mean, he's a very good athlete. Dolphins always seem to smother up these wide receivers. But it'll be fascinating to see because Parker and Preston Williams are on PUP. Jalen Waddle's a rookie. Will Fuller's going to miss the first game. There are opportunities for these receivers to step up. I do think Lynn Bowden is still a lock. And I got to say, I would, if we were redoing our lock segment, I would put Michael Dieter and I would put Albert Wilson on there. I mean, I might
put Wilson on in place of Bowden at this point.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I mean, and Wilson could take a step back. He could get hurt. A lot of things could happen. But I've just heard for months now that he's got some great chemistry with Tua. And I can't see a player like that getting cut, especially when they don't make a lot of money here to begin with. So anyway, thank you, everybody, here for joining us. We're going to go a little bit deeper into training camp. We'll certainly be on if there's any Xavier Howard news. I believe Xavier Howard will be a Miami Dolphin here this year. I think this will all get resolved. Because after the Instagram post, I thought if things get worse the rest of the week, he's probably gone. Xavier Howard was asked the other day and basically said it's up to the Dolphins. You don't say that when you're really digging your heels in and want to leave. And all the reports are he's around training camp. He's laughing and joking with people. Yeah, it's a little bit awkward, but I think this gets taken care of. The Dolphins need Xavier Howard the next 2 years if they're going to take the step forward that we're anticipating. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at BrianCatNFL, Paul at Fanatic_pick. And also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, the Fansided Network, and FinFanatic.com. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.